God is like that father in the parable. He's looking for you. God forgives us of the past. He will never bring up our sin again. Never too late to turn to God. Once there was a church that was very small and very poor. However, their lack of money was made up by their excitement in the Sunday morning service. Every week, when the preacher would stand and preach, the crowd would always respond with a big amen. This was especially true for one of the deacons in the church, a man named Deacon Mensah. Well, as it was, one fine Sunday morning, when the preacher stood and started preaching, the crowd was especially excited. As the pastor got going in his message, he shouted, "Let the church walk!" The crowd shouted, "Amen!" And Deacon Mensah shouted in response, "Amen! Let the church walk!" The preacher continued his message and got more and more excited. And finally, he came to a place in the sermon where he said this. He shouted, "Let the church run!" And all the people shouted, "Amen!" And Deacon Mensah followed along with, "Amen! Let the church run!" Well, the preacher got more and more excited, and he started shouting ever louder, and the crowd was shouting, "Amen!" Everybody was in the spirit, and the preacher said, "Let the church ride!" Deacon Mensah really got excited. He jumped up and began to run around and shouted, "Amen! Let the church ride!" And then the preacher got even more excited, and the pastor started shouting again. He said, "Let the church fly!" And the whole crowd went wild. Everybody jumped on their feet and shouted, "Amen! Let the church fly!" And Deacon Mensah started jumping up and down, crying, "Amen! Let the church fly!" And then the pastor looked at the crowd seriously and said, "But brothers, if the church is going to fly, it's going to take money. We're all going to have to give if the church is going to fly." Suddenly it got very quiet in the church and nobody said a word. Then after a minute of silence, Deacon Mensah stood up and said, "Let the church walk, Pastor. Let the church walk." Oftentimes we get excited about something until we find out that we have to get involved. We love to hear about what God will do for us, but we get quiet when we hear about what we must do for Him. We love to be on the receiving end of God's blessings, but sometimes we're not nearly as eager to give to make it happen. Amen. Well, I think this can be especially true at Christmas time. You see, we love to hear about God's gift to us, but we aren't quite so happy to hear about what we can do for Him. In reality, though, we're going to see today that the spirit of Christmas is the spirit of generosity. You see, you can't really celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ by simply receiving. True celebration of Christmas has got to involve you giving as well. Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Revelation. I'm so glad you've joined me today as we study the Word of God together. We're continuing our teaching series titled The Spirit of Christmas. Now, I'm sure many of you may find it difficult to believe that it's December already, but we've entered a new month, the final month of the year, and Christmas is right around the corner. In fact, I believe some of you have already started making your preparations and getting your celebrations ready. But to help all of us refocus and get ready for Christmas, I've begun a new teaching series about what Christmas is all about. I want us to refocus on the reason for the season. Last week, I began with a message called The Real Christmas. And if you missed that message, be sure to visit my website at revrcw.com to listen to the teaching once again. For the next 4 weeks, right up into Christmas, we're going to continue to look at the Word of God to discover the real Christmas, which is the spirit of Christmas. Forget about the traffic. Forget about the cost of items in the market. We're on a hunt to discover exactly what Christmas is all about. Now, for most of us, when we think about Christmas, we think about the manger and singing Christmas carols, and maybe about feasting or wearing new outfits. We think about faith and peace and joy and all those beautiful Christmas activities. But perhaps most of us wouldn't think of generosity. Yet that's exactly where we begin today. You see, I believe that the spirit of Christmas is the spirit of generosity. Christmas is, first of all, a story of God's great gift to us. And so we have to begin celebrating Christmas by talking about the spirit of generosity. And here's three truths for us today. First of all, you must realize that God is a generous God. Not only at Christmas time, but for all of eternity, God has been generous and extravagant. We can tell how generous a person is, not just by how much they give, but also by how they give. So let's take a moment and think about how God gives to us today. Well, first of all, He gives just to bless us. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Do you know, friend, today, true generosity gives without expecting something in return. It gives just to bless, and that's what the Bible says God does for us. Here at the Christmas season, we can talk about different types of gifts. There's what I call the gift for a gift gift. Somebody sends you a Christmas card, so you think, well, I better send them one too. Or somebody sends you a hamper, and you think, oh, what can I send them that's even more valuable than what they sent me? Sometimes in our giving, we compare the value of the gift. It can be especially true with families. We think, he invited me, therefore I have to invite him. But Christmas is not like that. God didn't give to us a gift for a gift gift. He gave freely to bless us. There's also what I call the gift for a favor gift. Sometimes at Christmas, we tend to feel obligated to dash people so that they might help us in the year ahead. A gift is given and a favor is expected in return. The giver of the gift doesn't want to give a gift, but he wants to do something to get a favor in return. But Christmas is not like that. God is not generous because he wants something from us. He gives to us grace gifts. A grace gift is different than a gift for a gift gift. A grace gift is different than a gift for a favor gift. A grace gift gives generously and does it just to bless. God gives all of us blessings just out of the goodness of his heart. Think of the history of God's generosity to man. He's freely given us so many things. He gave us life and air, rain and sun and everything. God is so generous, and he does that just to bless us. If we were to try to add up all that he's done for us, we could never count all our blessings. If we tried to thank him for everything he's done, we could never thank him enough. If we had 10,000 tongues to sing his praises, it would never be enough to thank him for all the great things he's done for us. For our God is a generous God. But how do we respond to his generosity? I'm afraid many of us are like little Amma. One day, while little Amma was carrying a bucket of water, she started to think about everyone else in her family. She realized that her dad went to work and was given money to pay him for his work. Her father received a salary for being a teacher. Her mother received the profits from selling things in the market. Even her older brothers got salaries for their work. So that evening, she sat down and wrote a letter to her mother. It read, "Dear Mother, I would like to bill you for the following items. For selling groundnut in the market 3 times a week, 5 Ghana cedis. Amma continued, "For carrying water every day, 3 Ghana cedis. For sweeping the compound every day, 2 Ghana cedis. For cooking and pounding the fufu, 4 Ghana cedis. For being sent on errands, 2 Ghana cedis. For going to the farm, 4 Ghana cedis. The total is 20 Ghana cedis. Signed, Amma." That evening, Amma's mother read the note and sat down to write a note back to Amma. It read, "Dear Amma, for carrying you for 9 months and giving you birth, I charge you nothing because I love you. For bringing you up, feeding you, and clothing you, I charge you nothing because I love you. For your school fees, books, uniform, and chop money, I charge you nothing because I love you. For the advice and teaching, I charge you nothing because I love you. For the times I cared for you when you were sick, and I cared for you late at night, I charge you nothing because I love you. For the times I sat up with you without sleep to tend to you, I charge you nothing because I love you. For praying for you every day, I charge you nothing because I love you. Total, the account is still open. Love, your mother. So often we tend to count all that we've done to God, or we count all that we've given. We do this especially at the offering. Ah, I gave last week. Or some of you might say, oh, another offering? Do I have to pay my tithe again? We tend to forget about the great love God has for us. 1 John 3:1 says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. God's great generosity should stir us to say, oh Lord, how great are your gifts to me. Even if I gave you all my life and everything I have, I've only done what was expected of me as your child. God gives to us generously, he gives freely, and he gives abundantly. I love James 1:5. The Bible says, God who gives generously to all without finding fault. You know, the Lord is never stingy, never miserly, never saying, I'll give them just enough. But God always gives us more than enough. He gives us handfuls on purpose. Sometimes you can't even contain all the blessings of God. Because you see, the gift says more about the giver than it does about the recipient. The gift shows the wealth and the generosity of the giver. It says nothing about the person who receives. And when God gives abundantly, it shows us who he is. Many, many years ago, there was a beggar who sat by the roadside asking alms. One day, the great king Alexander the Great passed by. The man was poor and wretched and had no claim upon the ruler, no right to even lift a hand to Alexander the Great. Yet the emperor took his hand into his pocket, pulled out some gold coins, and gave them to the beggar. One of the king's servants was surprised at the generosity of the king, and he said, sir, copper coins would have adequately met this beggar's need. Why did you give him gold? Alexander responded, copper coins would suit the beggar's need, but gold coins suit Alexander the Great's giving. When God gives abundantly, it shows us who he is. That's why those with spiritual gifts should not boast. Those who can prophesy or heal the sick or those who preach well should not boast. You didn't earn that. You didn't deserve it. It's a gift. And the manifestation of the gift shows the glory of the giver, not the receiver. Stop praising men for the gifts that God has given to them and begin to praise the giver of the gift. For Ephesians 1:3 says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Hallelujah, friends. Did you hear what the Word of God says? God is so generous. He's given us every spiritual blessing. He's given us everything that he's promised. He's the greatest giver ever known to man. But believe it or not, God has even gone beyond giving us gifts. God has even gone beyond giving us air and life. He's given the ultimate gift. He gave himself. And the greatest example of God's generosity is at Christmas. That's our second truth today. Christmas reveals God's ultimate gift. The spirit of Christmas is the spirit of generosity because when God gave to us, he didn't stop with the sun and the moon. He gave himself at Christmas time. How did he give? He gave lovingly. For John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. You know, friends, you can give and not love, but it is impossible to love and not give. God gave lovingly and he gave sacrificially. Romans 8:3 says, God sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving His Son as a sacrifice for our sins. It cost God so much. He had to leave the glories of heaven. When you think of the price that Christ paid, you think He might have been reluctant to come. But oh no, it was with joy that God gave. I believe that Jesus rushed to come to earth. I believe that's why the angels rejoiced, because God didn't hold back. In Ephesians 1:5, the Bible says, God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. No one forced God to give. No one persuaded Him. No one even suggested to God that He would give His Son. No one asked God for such a sacrifice. The thought of sending Jesus Christ was something so great, so sacrificial, so amazing, so unbelievable that it could never have occurred to man or angels. It was God's decision and God's desire alone that brought us Christmas. He gave willingly. No one forced Him to give. He gave because He wanted to. He gave lovingly. He gave sacrificially. He gave joyfully. He gave His all for us by offering His own dear Son. And when we experience His love, that will impact us. It will change us. It will cause us to be generous. And that brings us to our third truth today. God is calling all His people to be extravagant givers. You see, you can't come to Christmas and stay the same. The spirit of generosity will take hold of you and move you to give generously and extravagantly. You can't receive God's generous gift and remain tight-fisted or long-throat, stingy or greedy. You cannot be on the receiving end of His amazing grace and not become a generous person. It's impossible to keep quiet. It's impossible to keep it to yourself. It's impossible to withdraw and hoard this good news to yourself. That's why the wise men gave gifts, because giving generously is the appropriate response to the presence of Jesus Christ. That's why the shepherds went and told everyone, generously sharing the joyful news of what they had experienced, because sharing generously is the appropriate response to God's gift to us. Christmas is a celebration of generous giving, extravagant sharing, and exuberant release to bless others. The angels sang, the shepherds shared, the wise men gave, the whole event turned into one big party of giving. And I believe today that God is calling all of us to respond in the same way this Christmas. Just as the wise men and the shepherds and the angels celebrated by giving, God is also calling us to celebrate by giving. How should we give? The Bible tells us we should give responsively. Listen to Matthew 10:8. Jesus said, "Give as freely as you've received." Understand that as God has been generous to you, He calls you in the same way to be generous to others. For all that we've received actually came from His hand. Think about it for a moment. If you bought your brother a car, and then one day yours was in the shop and you needed a ride, and you said, "Brother, the car I bought for you, can you come and pick me?" And he said, "No," how would you feel? Or think about if you had built your mother a house, and then one day you're in the village and you need to pass the night, and you say, "Mom, can I pass the night with you?" And she said, "No." You'd be shocked at that behavior. And yet, that's what many of us do to God every day. God's given us generously. He's given us the power to get wealth. He's provided all that we need. He's given Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet we hold back when He challenges us to give. We have life and health and good things. We have Jesus, salvation, grace, and wisdom. And yet we tend to hold on to it rather than giving. You see, 2 Corinthians 9 says, "Now He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." That's the second way God wants you to give. He wants you to give in faith. God does not give seed to the hoarder. He doesn't give seed to the stingy. It says he gives seed to the sower. You've got to be giving in order for God to bless you. Many years ago, there was a young university student named Keith Taylor. One day, his car broke down and he couldn't pay his rent. His boss heard about his need and gave him a gift out of his generosity. Keith said to himself, "One day when I'm rich, I will help the poor as well." But then as Keith thought about it, he realized that when he was ever in trouble or in need, it had never been a wealthy person who helped him. It had only been a kind person. So Keith decided to act, to actually do something now and not wait until he was rich. He started an NGO with simply $350 of his own money, $350 of his own money. But today, $2.5 million has been given to the poor through the organization that Keith Taylor started. 2 Corinthians 8:7 says, "But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in the grace of giving." I challenge you today to do what Keith Taylor did. Begin giving today. Don't wait until you're rich, but start now with the little you have and watch God bless it and grow it. Keith Taylor started with $350 of his own money, and today so many millions have been given out to the poor because of the organization he started. You know, I've noticed one thing, friends. If you're a mature Christian, you'll always be generous. If you're growing in Christ, you'll be growing in generosity as well. For from now until eternity, we will be giving unto the Lord. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously." I encourage you today to become a generous giver. Give in response to God's giving to you. Give in faith that he gives seed to the sower, and give extravagantly and generously. Even the poor can learn to give. For 2 Corinthians 8:3 and 4 says, "They gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service." This scripture was not talking about rich people. Oh no. In verse 2 it says, "In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity." That's the story of Christmas. When we needed a miracle, God gave his only son for us. He gave it all freely, joyfully, generously, and sacrificially. He gave all he had to save us. And when I think of all he's done for me, I want to give too. I want to give in response to how much he's given to me. I want to give in faith, not looking at my ability, but looking at his promise. And I want to give extravagantly and go beyond my comfort and my convenience. I want to give it all and give until God receives the praise from my life. At this Christmas season, I'm not asking you to give to me. I'm not asking you to give to an organization, but I challenge you to give in response to God's generosity to you. Find the poor, the needy, a widow or an orphan child. Help them. Don't just help your family or friends, but look for those that you can give to generously, extravagantly, willingly, and joyfully in faith, just as God has given to us. For that is the spirit of Christmas, the spirit of generosity. May the Lord bless you as you give in accordance to how he's given to you. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us today on Revelation with Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb. I believe that today's episode has been a great blessing to you. I love today's message about the spirit of generosity because it reminds me that God is generous. He is not stingy, and he's willing to give us the best. But I want you to also remember that this message reveals that the Lord wants us to be extravagant givers. This Christmas, make it your goal to bless someone who cannot repay you back, just like God has given us the gift of Jesus Christ. There is more on this sermon at www.revrcw.com. We have a study guide for you on this topic, and other sermons preached by Pastor Whitcomb at www.revrcw.com. And it's all free. Take some time and go there to study this message in depth. This sermon series continues next week at the same time on this channel. Invite your friends to watch with you, and they will bless you. God bless you.
Are you stressed by the political campaign? It is true that we are in a political season. But it is also true that Christmas is here with us. On December 24th, join Pastor Whitcomb and the Global Praise Choir to sing your favorite Christmas carols at our Candlelight Christmas Eve service. Make this Christmas truly memorable. Come with family and friends to Agape House on 24th December from 6:30 to 8 p.m. Agape House is located at Agape Land, near the ANC Square in East Lagos. An awesome time awaits you.
Are you looking for a church where the presence of God fills every service? Are you searching for a church where you can grow in your faith through anointed preaching of God's word? Are you longing for a family? Are you longing for a church family that would love and accept you just as you are, while helping you to become all God wants you to be? Your search is over. Come to Agape House New Testament Church this weekend and experience a powerful touch from the Lord. We invite you to join us at the Saturday night church from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. or in worship on Sunday morning at 8 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. Agape House is located at Agape Lawn near ANC Square in East Lagos, or visit www.agapehouseghana.org. Or to get directions, call 0541-003878 for assistance with directions. Agape House New Testament Church, glorifying God, transforming.